listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
And welcome to Nerds Assemble episode 189. I'm Paul.
I'm Emily.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
And this week we're dodging the minefield that is the political situation and instead looking on the other positive aspects that 2017 will hopefully bring to us.
So Retroid is not speaking at all this episode.
Yeah, I'm just muting myself here, apart from the occasional going, ha! As a comment.
Okay, well, I know I've got a couple.
That's all we've got time for.
Oh, and just because we've delved quite, straight into it rather than actually giving you an update. We are still doing the BioShock special. I think that's meant to be the next episode. Possibly.
I like that.
Cool.
See, I've actually done my work there. If, you know, playing a game series I really like is considered work, which I'm going to consider that work. Just the hell of it. But I've done it.
I've found it increasingly hard to play G2 stuff.
Yeah. Politics and the world as it is now is currently, some would say it's the perfect time, you know, to play video games because it's escapism, but other people say that may be true of games that aren't very political by themselves.
Well, you see, witnessing the downfall of a separatist civilization due to extreme ideologies and rampant consumerism, you can escape that by playing BioShock.
Anyway.
The difference is that's under the sea and it has drills.
Anyway, we're going to look on the bright side of life.
Again.
The bright side is I'm looking forward to plasmids.
Okay, is anybody else looking forward to Rick and Morty season 3?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think people need the opportunity to get shrifty just that bit more. Of course, I mean, to be fair, when you consider the lyrics of that song, there's some aspects to getting shrifty that perhaps we shouldn't do, at least not in polite company.
That's after dark.
Very much after dark. Has anybody else, apart from me and Emily, seen Rick and Morty yet?
I've seen a few episodes. I haven't watched any more.
I think the most terrifying thing about Rick and Morty and how much we've watched it, though nowhere near as bad as an acquaintance of ours.
Yes, we introduced him to Rick and Morty
over Christmas.
I think it was like might have been actually on Christmas Eve, and
he's never looked back.
Yeah, he's watched it all the way through several times by now.
I think it was at least four the last time we'd seen him, maybe even five.
Yeah, and so five. See, within the space of about a month
fine,
or so.
So long as he doesn't start, talking really quickly and burping.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, is that it meant that New Year's Eve had a lot of references to the bone train. Do you wish to ride the bone train? And might have been copious amounts of alcohol included with this very intense dose of fandom, but yeah.
Yeah, it was. We've not seen that outside of the Supernatural fandom for a while.
Yeah, yeah. But no,
weren't around me in the 90s with Star Trek.
What's the microphone do?
The microphone is getting shrifty.
Oh, shit.
It's getting on the floor.
No!
Get down with it. Don't want you to get down with it.
No, definitely not. What am I looking forward to? I'm really, really looking forward to some more Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
Yes, baby Groot.
I'm kind of hoping that it's more enjoyable than the last few Marvel films that I've seen. That's based on the fact that it was one of the last Marvel films that I really enjoyed. So, kind of hoping.
It was a nice change of pace from the Marvel stuff.
It was. It was interesting. It was quite a departure for him, which worked out really well.
I mean, the fact of the matter is that if you're going to get, like, bigger and, you know, kind of more bold, then the characters kind of have to, you know, match as well. You can't just have, like, battle scene here, battle scene there, battle scene here, done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was responsible for one of the moments of cognitive dissonance I had in the last fortnight.
Oh?
I was shopping in Sainsbury's, and I noticed they have a vinyl section now.
What?
Really?
Yeah, they have vinyl albums in my local Sainsbury's.
Okay.
And if it has it in the local Sainsbury's, then it must be in several, surely.
That's cool. But,
yeah, it's not very big. It's, you know, like one and a half, maybe, you know, shelf, you know, spaces. You know, you know what I mean about the, you know, the width of the, you know, the set shelves.
Hmm.
You know, display stands where the, you know, they have them. It was one of those and a bit, little bit more. But, they had the soundtrack to Guardians of the Galaxy on vinyl album. And, of course, the cover of it is a tape.
Yeah.
You know, the tape deck.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, remastered digitally. So it's remastered from CD onto vinyl in 2017, and it's got a picture of a tape on the cover.
Brilliant.
And it's just, it just needed to say digital download included somewhere on, you know, on the packaging, and it would have been, that was a little bit strange. And also, seeing the prices that they're flogging albums for, you know, on vinyl, it's like, oh, I can kind of see why they're saying, ooh, you know, so much money was made on vinyl, you know, more than the last few years. Because you're charging 18 fucking quid per album.
Ooh.
Bloody hell. That's a bit bloody steep.
18. It's just, no. I wouldn't have paid that way back when.
I'm just,
you know, before we, you know, had prices coming down because of MP3.
I'm looking for the illegal vinyl cutting that's going to eventually happen, or pressing. I can't remember how vinyl's made.
I have a thing about that.
Uh-oh.
There was an awesome thing going on in the Soviet Union where they couldn't get hold of, you know, the material. They couldn't get, you know, get hold of the vinyl to, you know, make discs themselves. So what some smart ass found out was the type of plastic, I presume it must be a type of plastic, that they used for x-rays in the Soviet Union could be trimmed into a into a circular pattern, and they could have the tracks etched into them. So there's, if you look around, all you have to do, you know, Russian x-ray vinyl. And it's all because they look awesome. You know, all this thing about, you know, like novelty, you know, vinyl discs that you can get. And of course, you can get them again now because I saw an awesome Friday the 13th one where it's hollow and they filled it with red liquid. So it looks like it's, you know, it's blood swimming around in your vinyl.
Oh my God.
I think you did mention this the other week.
Yeah, I might link it and, you know, we'll get it retweeted. Yeah,
can we look to the future, which obviously we're not looking forward to high vinyl prices, but is there anything anyone is looking forward to?
But yeah, look for, you know, Russian, you know, X-ray vinyls, and they look awesome. And some of them cost up skulls, which is just fantastic.
I'm looking forward to the Switch slightly, and that's as much as I'm going to say about it.
Because I'm going already to mentioned be diplomatically quiet.
I'm intrigued to get older one and never mess about one.
Okay.
I've got a tablet, so.
But it's not made by Nintendo, is it?
No. Because it's a modern one.
I finally saw a trailer for Mass Effect Andromeda, and I'm looking forward to it a teeny tiny bit more.
Ooh.
But yes. Still not as much as I look forward to Mass Effect 2.
I have not pre-ordered Mass Effect Andromeda.
Hey, what? What's wrong with you?
I think I rarely pre-order actual games.
I don't pre-order games anymore because my fandom activities means that it is ridiculous for me to invest in a game straight off the fucking launch day.
There were always very few games I would pre-order, but I pre-ordered the hell out of all the Mass Effects. I have the metal boxes of 1, 2, and 3.
Wow. Cool.
And the art book, the art of Mass Effect and such on my shelf, and also the Prima guide to it, but that was only because it was with the art book.
I mean, I
don't need the Prima guide.
I take it that you are actually able to play as a woman in Mass Effect Andromeda. It's just that all the trailers that I've seen so far, they've been guys.
Oh, you can, because the man beards, I say that as a man with a beard, were upset that some of the original, revealer teaser trailer footage showed the lady.
Ah, right.
Because they were, a girl in space, it's just natural. Boobs get in the way of space or something, I don't know.
Suddenly it turns into a Dead or Alive game.
But yeah, it looks nice enough. But one of the things, it's you've gone to another galaxy, but everything looks very, very humanoid.
Mm.
I can't see much of a difference between this and being in our home galaxy, Milky Way. And it's just, oh come on, you could have taken this as an opportunity to do some really weird shit, aliens. Mm.
I mean, that's I remember the Hanar from the original Mass Effect, and just like the excitement.
This one is not impressed.
Yes,
I want it. Yeah. I want the Rachni to actually get the Mass Effect relays working again, and just be like, "Fuck you, bitches!" And then kind of like demand that they don't let any of the humanoids use it at all. Which is
peace out.
Yeah. It's like, you killed our mum, and then you tried wiping us out. So you clearly can't be.
Yeah, so they're just like, fuck you guys. Fuck you. Maybe I would really like the right line to do that, actually. The more that I think about this, I only just suddenly thought about this. Yes, I want that.
The fate of the Rachni is one of the things that annoyed me about Mass Effect 3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because, very quickly, because of course, most if not all of us have played, Mass Effect trilogy. In the first one, you've got the choice of either killing a Rachni queen or releasing it.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to see what the differences would be, because I had separate playthroughs, Renegade and Paragon, throughout the series, and then found out it's good. It doesn't matter what you chose, because we found another Rachni queen for reasons.
And we're going to bullshit around with it because,
Reapers. Yeah. It's just, well, thanks.
I personally think the Rachni would have been able to have actually scurried away enough that the Reapers wouldn't have had a serious effect. I really found that annoying in 3.
that was one of the things that annoyed me. And until I see reviews of Andromeda, I'm just going to be very cautious about it, because I know from in advance, from a little while back, that most of the people who worked on the original Mass Effects are gone from BioWare.
Mm. Well, yeah, because after the kerfuffle over the ending for 3, what's the writing team left?
I mean, some of them did some of them actually leave the gaming industry altogether? Am I remembering that correctly? Or
I think that the two brothers who set up BioWare, once they got bought out by EA, they basically just went, cheers.
That always seems to be the way. I mean, I remember the Stamper brothers with Rare when that got bought by Microsoft, and it's like, yeah, we're just going to go now.
Yeah, I'm not convinced with BioWare that them getting bought out by EA and clearly pushing out three.
I think my game purchasing habits at the moment, because obviously like Dishonored 2 came out last year and I haven't played that yet, I can see myself sort of November this year kind of just picking up Dishonored 2, Mass Effect Andromeda, and Resident Evil 7 cheap. Yeah. I mean, Resident Evil 7 is the first Resident Evil since 5 that we haven't like bought on launch.
Mm.
And ironically, it's supposed to be one of the best since 4.
Mm. But then we didn't buy 4 on launch.
No, that's true. So, well, to be
we should just wait, and we'll ask you two if you bought it on launch or not. And if you have, avoid.
To be fair, the Wii version on launch.
Yes, but we had extensively played the PS2 version.
Oh, yes.
So it was kind of like, we knew it was going to be good.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because we got the Wii version.
Yeah.
I've got the GameCube and the Wii versions, and technically also the
Had the PS2. The advantage of the PS2 version, though, was that you had the load of the Age of stuff, plus the extra special costumes.
Plus, it was a lot cheaper.
It will have been, yes.
The GameCube version is, yeah.
I have seen, and you know, this is going back a bit, but I've seen comparison screenshots from the PS2 version versus the GameCube version, and you may or may not know that the GameCube was a more powerful machine than the PS2.
Yeah.
But yeah, the PS2 version was slightly downgraded in comparison. There are bits where I've seen comparison videos and screenshots side by side, and they said, yeah, the GameCube version looks a bit better.
Yeah.
But stuff we're looking forward to. We're talking about the past, guys.
Yeah, we keep on referring to the past. What the hell?
I have a small list.
Go for it.
Logan.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that looks good.
That looks really promising. And the fact that it's R-rated, I might actually get my Wolverine movie that I've been waiting for. Yay!
I'm hoping for lots of
And Dr. Xavius does the swears.
Yay!
Yes.
You would if you were 90 and a mutant and running from lunatics again.
Yep. And still kind of like paralysed.
Yeah, and X-23 just looks... just looks like she's going to just kick ass.
It will be interesting to see what her origins are revealed to be in the film, because obviously in the comics she's a clone of Logan, but a partial clone.
God damn it, spoilers.
That's in the comics.
I don't actually care about the X-Men comics, so this is fine.
So,
anything else on this?
Yeah, damn straight. Wonder Woman.
Yes.
I'm quite intrigued by that. That is actually looking quite decent.
I'm really hoping that it doesn't have any of the problems that any of the DC films kind of have since this kind of re-establishment situation.
Zach, commonly known as Zack Snyder.
Well, I watched like a YouTube video, like a video essay on why DC films kind of currently suck, and it's actually quite interesting the way that he could kind of put it, was that basically there's no kind of character development in stuff. It's all of the films are made based on the audience having prior knowledge of the characters, and so they don't actually give the characters proper motives and proper growth, which I kind of actually agree with.
The only thing
the Marvel ones have been doing well with that. So
yes, and I'm hoping Wonder Woman will change that.
The DC films have been doing better on a non-narrative level, in the sense of the filmmaking quality. So because they've been filmed on film, they look better, and they've also had far more compelling soundtracks. Whereas Marvel's been basically filmed on digital for most of it, and their soundtracks are just, other than Guardians of the Galaxy, their soundtracks are just kind of like, eh? Oh, and also the Iron Man was fine, but then they were just, it's like Guardians, they were just borrowing from popular music, so.
True.
But
very true.
I'm hoping Wonder Woman does better on the characterization front.
I am optimistic with Wonder Woman, but it's still, I'm kind of, yes, I'll see it, but I've got my eye on you.
Mm.
Oh, yes, don't screw definitely. This up.
I do find it kind of ironic how in the past we have actually kind of talked about how, you know, whether comic book films are kind of going to go the way of, you know, the Westerns and stuff like that, and, you know, kind of having like this burnout for them. But it's quite interesting to see that we've actually got, you know, three comic book films in essence on our list of things that we're looking forward to this year. So,
oh, definitely.
I think that's part of the, you know, because, say, you know, comic book films, but there are several comic book films I've seen that I would characterize them as comic book because they're, you know, they're kind of loud and actiony. Yeah. And there are other ones which are, you know, they're comic book derived, but they're not comic book films.
Okay.
If you don't want to. You know, there's a whole list of those. It's like, was it a Road to Perdition?
Yeah.
It was a graphic novel?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call that a comic book film.
Mm.
And, you know, there are several others, but yeah, it's like, you know, to me, Guardians of the Galaxy seems far more like a, you know, typical sort of sci-fi.
Yeah.
An action-y comedy sci-fi than a comic book film, because it doesn't really have superheroes in, does it? It just has, has a, you know, it's sci-fi.
Yeah, pulp sci-fi.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else on your list?
Well, I've not even scratched the surface yet, mate. I'm positive. Obviously, I'm really looking forward to talking to Retroid about two new Netflix series, Iron Fist and The Defenders. While you two catch up.
We caught up. You bugger.
And I've seen, like, one of the promotional images for Iron Fist, and Claire Temple's in there. And it's like, what the hell? She's everywhere. I mean, I know it's all in one kind of, you know, it's all in New York, but by the same token, she's just like in every series.
Have you seen who's playing the villain in Defenders yet?
No, I haven't even heard what the villain is. Or who's
Sigourney Weaver.
All right.
Yeah, that's me. I'm set. I'm looking forward to Defenders. Have you seen the promo shot where it's got, you know, the lineup, and it's got, you know, Luke Cage and
Jessica Jones.
Yeah, Jessica Jones and that we haven't had a series for yet, but you know, who cares? And you know, blind lawyer guy, and you know, it's just sort of, you know. You know, Daredevil standing there and his lawyer get up with his dark glasses, and it's just, how would he know where to look? Because they're all sort of standing there, actually, and you've got a blind lawyer. It's like, yes, I know he can, you know, he can kind of see because that's what his ability is, but...
Maybe Matt Murdock is kind of just looking off into the distance and the others are going, well, where are you looking? It's like, I don't know, I'm blind.
Well, yeah, I... What? Look, spoiler, it's like, fuck's sake.
Is there something over there?
I am. You know, it's not an act. I am. You're all bastard insensitive, and I'm sick of it.
It is looking good, though. I'm looking forward to those. I'm hoping to see more info and perhaps a release date for Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
Kingdom Hearts 3, would that be the 17th or the 18th in the series because of their stupid numbering?
The
eighth, isn't it?
I think Kingdom Hearts as a series is kind of like an RPG game in of itself, because you have the main quest, which is, you know, the 1, 2, and 3, and then you just have loads of different side quests, which are all the rest.
Scattered across different consoles just to annoy you.
Yeah. But
I've
repackaged
got
into.
Kingdom Hearts,
you know,
on PS2.
Sorry?
And I've never played it.
I played most of Kingdom Hearts. In fact, I completed Kingdom Hearts whilst I was recovering from peritonitis when I was 17. Well, was I 17? No, 16. Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed the first Kingdom Hearts.
Feel old.
I quite enjoyed Kingdom Hearts 2 as well.
I never got around to Kingdom Hearts 2, I must admit.
Now, was Kingdom
Which
Hearts
is why I'm looking forward to Kingdom Hearts 2.8 final chapter.
I mean, to be fair, the Kingdom Hearts series is kind of batshit crazy on its lore and, you know, some of its concepts, but, you know, it's kind of a compelling story.
It does make me wonder if some of this is down to translation sometimes.
Could be.
Or cultural stuff as well.
I would say probably more cultural stuff.
Speaking of stuff from a different culture, I'll talk more about it when we talk about what we've been up to, but I'm looking forward to Yuri on Ice Season 2!
What is this Yuri on Ice?
I don't want to...
Because I keep reading it and I keep thinking you're watching some ice skating championship
this
edition.
This is not the part of the episode to discuss what it is. I will tell you all what it is later.
Now, I will ask, Yuri on Ice, does Yuri refer to... a name?
It refers to a name because technically speaking, in both Russia and Japan, Yuri is a name. The unfortunate alliance it has in various circles with girl-on-girl explicit content that is either animated or drawn is unfortunate.
Yeah, because, I mean, isn't it yaoi for guy on guy?
Yeah.
So
yaoi.
Yaoi? Yeah. Oh, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Or are you just guessing?
That's, so far as I know, that's how you pronounce it. No, I am not a fan. I just know that.
Okay.
But further explanation.
I will say that the origin of Yuri is from Kay and Yuri, who were disastrous sci-fi sort of secret agents. Called the Dirty Pair.
Yeah.
Anyone heard of that?
I've heard of the Dirty Pair.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. The original was good, and you know the idea was that they were bounty hunters who would go into a situation and cause far more shit themselves than anyone else, and there was a very good. The term a merry manga, where it was a comic series that was done by written by Torrin Smith and illustrated by Adam Warren, and I was a big fan of them because the comic series was quite good. And ironically, of course, there's far more content for the comic series than there ever was for the original anime.
Yeah,
but that's where Yuri came from because they were. Well, they were two lasses, one of them being Russian, hence being called Yuri, and it was a fandom favourite thing at the time to portray them as true ladies who had time for each other.
Cool.
There you go, history lesson.
Nice one.
And part of my nerdy geekery.
Thank you very much, sir. Red Dead Redemption 2, I'm really, really looking forward to.
Oh, God damn it, I was going to list that.
Well, surely you
just
can say
because
why.
I am literally having to Google for things to look forward to.
Well,
I'm not joking. I am having to do that because Mass Effect Andromeda and Red Dead 2 are basically it.
Oh, what about a little bit more Star Wars?
Star Wars Episode 8?
Yeah. The Last Jedi.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. Let's bring Rey back, get her trained up by Luke, and go kick Kylo Ren's ass.
That would be nice.
Definitely.
Is it me, or does the titles for like the Star Wars films always seem a bit kind of
a misnomer,
or like a bit like a not necessarily a cliche, but a bit like, you know, The Last Hope or The Empire Strikes Back or The Return of the Jedi.
I'll have you know it was A New Hope.
Yes, what did I say?
We've got stuff, and that also ties in with
turn your force powers down.
Yes.
Okay. Because in one of the flash forwards in Bioshock Infinite, you see a cinema marquee and it's Revenge of the Jedi.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Which was the original working title for Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. But they deemed it was too dark and more dark side.
Yeah.
However, what do you think to the whole, is it coincidence or was it just an accident of both titles of the new films actually creating a full sentence?
Oh, what, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi.
I hadn't thought about that.
Episode 9, from his nap.
Yeah. I have seen that image.
Yes. I wasn't going to claim credit for that. It's just, yeah, it works too well.
It's quite intriguing, though.
I just love the idea of, like, you know, Luke just...
Huh? He's been asleep on some chilly Irish island.
My nephew has gone a little bit off the rails.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I am looking forward to.
I have a guilty thing I'm looking forward to, just because it looks rather...
Is this for After Dark? Or is it...
No, it's all right. It's not for After Dark. Okay. I am intrigued after seeing the trailer for the new Baywatch movie.
Things I did not expect to see on this episode or hear.
No, it's just because they've seemed to have done it as a really offshoot comedy style.
Is it going to star David Hasselhoff, or is he at least going to be, you know, cameo in it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, God.
I know they are basically taking the mick out of Baywatch by the looks of the trailer. It's very more one-liners and a bit more... Let's throw a load of gags in there.
Okay.
Fewer slow-mo running shots.
No, they've still got the slow-mo running shots.
I suppose part of the issue for Baywatch coming out now is that in terms of cultural content from... Well, when was it out? Was it late 80s and then obviously the 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had to say Baywatch Night or something, didn't you?
So it's it's kind of like it's been so picked apart in other popular culture that if you don't produce it at least slightly aware of itself, it will cause its own form of cognitive dissonance, as you're just kind of like, that doesn't work anymore because, you know. And that's with every single bounce of
booze. You're playing it straight. It doesn't quite compute.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the problem with a lot of zombie films in a way have, is the fact that within the world of a zombie outbreak, there appears to have been no
zombie media
or zombie lore or anything like that. Well, virtually none, anyway.
Yeah.
But, I am now thinking of a TV channel by zombies for zombies.
I feel like it's a real niche market there.
A zombie court, but that's not what you meant.
No.
Zombie court.
lots of shambling around and pointing at some brains and jars.
I am
possibly the jury eating the evidence.
Yeah, so you've been eating this gentleman's brain, which means that you are part of this gentleman, which means that you are now married to this woman.
What?
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 It's biblical zombie law.
I am also looking forward to Guy Ritchie's take on the King Arthur legend.
What?
Guy Ritchie.
It's you that's looking forward to that.
Yeah, damn straight. I quite liked his Sherlock Holmes ones with Robert Downey Jr.
Okay. I did like the new Sherlock ones. I think my issue is that with every King Arthur adaptation, living in one of the areas of the country where there's a lot of claim to the legend, it's just kind of like, fuck's sake. Yeah. It's like, and I'm just waiting for the inevitable crossover somewhere between Poldark and King Arthur in some way. Actually, do you know what? I bet Archive of Our Own has got Merlin and Poldark crossover fiction somewhere.
Oh, God, no.
I'm not going to go looking for it. I don't need to do that to myself.
The internet was a mistake.
I have got two...
The written word was a mistake.
So now that I've dropped that bombshell and everybody's just gone off the rails on that one, I have got two more films that I'm looking forward to, but I'm pretty sure Mr. Wood has probably got these on his list.
Oh, I'm intrigued now.
And if he hasn't, I will be driving down to Carlisle and sucking him across the face.
Isn't it more like up to Carlisle? I'll
be driving up.
Yeah. Like, isn't everyone having to drive up to Retroid?
Maybe he's going
to... Pretty much, unless you're Scottish, you have to drive up.
Yeah. Everybody else is depressed about what's been going on in the world. Because I live in my own little world where I can do what the fuck I want to, I'm not so depressed, and that's why I've got all these positive things to look forward to. So I'll keep driving down.
Yeah, now just piss on your chips.
What have you got?
Those your chips.
What are the films? What are the films?
Hopefully, if he's actually got to finish writing it, I will finally be able to read the 7th Game of Thrones book this year.
Good luck with that.
And if not, I can watch season 7 on telly. Is it season 7? Season 7, isn't it?
On a related note, I'm looking forward to Half-Life 3.
Now you're just being fucking ludicrous, aren't you?
I made Retroid sad.
How could you be so cruel?
Have you found them?
Play through Half-Life 2 again, aren't I?
You could indeed.
Sorry, what's going on?
Have you found anything else, Mr. Retroid?
What, for things to look forward to?
Yeah.
There are a few things, maybe. I mean, shall we do things I'm looking forward to now?
Yeah, I think you might be an idea.
Well, it's not going to take long. I may look forward to just, you know, partly just to annoy people, and partly because I do genuinely like the series. I may buy Zelda Breath of the Wind.
Breath of the Wild.
Wii U, just to be awkward.
Don't you have to actually buy a Wii U for that?
Yeah, as I said, under Wii U. For multiple reasons. Exactly. You know, the prices are going to come down on it because, of course, everyone will be trying to move or upgrade to the Switch.
True.
I can't see a reason for the Switch right now. I think the games are too expensive, and I would rather, you know, looking at the price, because let's see, generously, a Switch for about 280 quid plus a game, you're looking at about, you know, 50 or 60 quid. You know, to buy Zelda on it. Mm. So you're looking there about, you know, 340, 350. You know, that kind of level. Now, I'd rather buy a Wii U where there'll be several games that I'm wanting to, you know, play already, but I haven't had a chance to. And, of course, I can get Breath of the Wind on it. And I've seen comparisons, and it looks quite decent.
Yeah, it does.
So I can't see much difference between, you know, the Wii U version of Breath of the Wind and the Switch version.
It's supposed to run a lot smoother, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more consistent. There's slightly different lighting. And that's about it. So I'm quite happy, you know, for that. Let's see, other game-wise, I'll try and find... Yes, yeah, I am still having to Google. Shut up. let's see. Come on.
Are we getting a Stranger Things season 2 this year or not?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
There we go. There's something else to look forward to.
And Sense8.
Amble says, go
that's
Netflix.
True. That's in May, isn't it? Because
May the 8th, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
that. Mind you, we still got to watch the Christmas.
It's very close to mine as well.
Let's see, I'm looking forward to Red Dead Redemption 2. Fuck you, Cookie.
That sounds like it should be like the subtitle to like an expansion. It's like Red Dead Redemption 2, fuck you, Cookie. It's like, wow, that got personal first.
That did get really personal.
Yeah, it did escalate. I'm looking forward to Prey, because I was a fan of the original Prey on 360.
So it's interesting how awkward the development path of that game has been.
Well, considering that I went to a presentation for the I would say the original, quote unquote, Prey 2 at EGX, and I have a T-shirt from that in a presentation where they said you're a bounty hunter on an alien hub world where you know you've all been abducted to and you know blah 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 and you do this and that, and of course it's not that game anymore because that game got dumped.
Yep.
So it's like woo, but I saw footage of it and it looked quite good.
That was the year I met you.
Was it then or was it the year after? Because this is 2012.
We've been doing this podcast since 2012.
Wow.
Is everyone okay?
Bloody hell.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm not so much looking forward to as curious about Yooka-Laylee.
Yes.
Because I'm not convinced about how amazing Rare were.
Mm.
You know, that original, you know, development team. I'm not wholeheartedly convinced, but I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it.
If it's the true spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie, it'll be a brilliant masterpiece of a game.
I liked the Banjo games, and
yes.
I do regret. I bought
Nuts
and Bolts.
Oh God, no!
No, I really liked the demo of that. You know, the whole idea of you could just build your own vehicles and you know, do stuff. I just wasn't convinced about that being the basis of a game.
We're even now for me spoiling Red Dead Redemption 2 for you, I think.
But let's see. So that's what I'm looking forward to game-wise. There's probably more. I think I'm looking forward to playing lots of games that I should have bought in 2016 but didn't get around to because they were too expensive and I'm a stingy bastard.
Yes.
So XCOM 2 I will be playing rather soon because that's in the...
Cool.
I'm also looking forward to picking up Deus Ex. Yeah. Is it Human?
Human Revolution is the first, well, the first sequel, the new.
Yeah, I can't remember what the second one's
called. Is it Summit Machina? I want to say. But no, that doesn't make sense. I don't know. But, it's a thing.
Yeah, the most recent one, because I really enjoyed
was
the.
Something about Human.
The sort of prequel three, you know, on that they did on the 360 on PC.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Let's see. Movies I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Alien Covenant.
Yes.
See what you can do with that. Please don't, you know, do some of the things that you did in, you know, Prometheus. I liked Prometheus, but that's because I was, you know, while I was sitting there watching it, I was thinking, this is a sci-fi film and it's not related to Alien. It is not related to Alien. It is nothing whatsoever to do with Alien. Leave Alien out of it.
Hey, do you think... Tucker and Dale vs. Evil 2 might be up this year.
What's that?
Tucker and Dale vs. Evil
2. I'm just gonna.
Oh yes, please. I'm
just gonna see if it is. Don't quote me. To release date.
2020.
Fish in development. When's it coming out, people?
George R. R. Martin actually writes the seventh novel.
Horror freak news. Please load. God damn it. Load. Somebody talk a minute.
In the meantime, I am also looking forward to War for the Planet of the Apes.
Yes, I have liked
because,
the prequels.
Yeah, ignoring the awful Tim Burton.
Yeah, no, the last two I've really enjoyed.
Completely ignoring the Tim Burton film, you know,
Hearing
the story from you know from the off. Yeah, I've really enjoyed the Planet of the Apes films. You know, these new series that they're doing. So you know, they're doing War of, and yeah, I've seen the trailer. I like the look of the trailer. I'll be having that. Thanks very much. So that looks good.
Definitely.
And there's no release date for Tucker and Dale versus Evil 2. I'm afraid.
Ooh.
I was trying to be hopeful.
Bastard.
I'm still kind of looking forward to Star Trek Discovery, but I'm not like 100% sure on it.
I am also up to I will consume this because it is Star Trek and warp nacelles are in my blood, which is a I mean that's a real problem medically.
See, that's why you always walk so fast.
It is.
The only thing I find a bit odd is they started filming last week.
Yeah, I think it is.
And they reckon it's going to premiere in May.
Well, they could do that.
Could do, because, I mean, TV does have...
They're doing it weekly, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes, they are, I suppose.
It's not, they're not doing a Netflix and saying, here are the, you know, the 13 episodes or however long.
This is
so,
true.
Yeah, that could happen. So I'm looking forward to that. Please don't fuck it up.
I think those type of series where they do that, where it's kind of all in bulk, there is something very, very different about that than kind of regular episodes. If that makes sense. Like, if it's weekly, then, you know, in terms of kind of story and structure and whatnot, it is different.
Well, one of my cats has come in and she's decided she wants attention.
Uh-oh.
God bless her.
Okay.
So if you've heard the occasional...
Yep.
Hey, cows.
Yeah, say hello to the internet.
She doesn't care. Is there food or petting? let's see. Something I'm looking forward to, but in a sort of a deeply morbid curiosity way.
Okay.
Ghost in the Shell.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one I was thinking of for you.
I am pretty sure it will be better than the animes.
I quite like the trailer.
Movies. The
you mean the movies, right? Not Standalone Complex, because Standalone Complex is lovely.
Standalone Complex is lovely, but I was a big fan. Well,
I know
still
you're a big fan of the manga, yeah.
Yeah, Masamune Nishiro manga, and just appalled at what happened with the movies. And of course, everyone going, "Oh, the movies are brilliant! Oh, the movies are great!" Are they? Fuck. not that I feel strongly about this, you understand.
No,
I'm still a little concerned about the casting options.
I am quite concerned about the casting. I am not happy with it being whitewashed.
Mm.
I mean, good God, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this entry. Director Robert Sanders, stars Scarlett Johansson, Michael Pitt, Michael Wincott, Juliet Binoche. Oh yeah, very, you know, very Japanese sounding names there.
Yeah.
I mean, not all the characters in the original story were, you know, Japanese.
No.
But it's just if you're gonna base it on, you know, a manga like that, it's a please just, you know.
I mean, it's one of those things that if they actually try to take it out of Japan and stuck it in the US, then it kind of would not work as well. And quite worrying that there aren't more Japanese names attached to it.
I do wonder also if the reason why they've whitewashed it like this is because it's easier for them to then just repackage it and sell it back to the Chinese market. It's because China and Japan aren't getting along at the moment, and if they tried to make it more Japanese, it would have been harder to sell it to the huge, ridiculously sized market that is China currently in the movie industry.
Yeah, that is sadly true. So, well, yeah.
But is that all the things?
No. Mr. Wood has to have at least one more that I can think of.
Really?
Well, I'm not sure if it's coming out this year, so I don't know if this counts, because I can't find it on the lists yet. But okay. I'm looking forward to Pacific Rim 2.
Ah, really?
What?
I don't think it's coming
out. That wasn't the one I was thinking of.
Well, what the heck were you thinking of?
Blade Runner 2049.
Yes, Blade Runner was going to be one I was going to mention as well. Although that is one I am definitely just side-eyeing and go, you fuck with Blade Runner. And I will cut you. And then we'll find if you're a replicant or not.
Wow.
But yeah, it's like, don't mess with Blade Runner. One of my all-time favourite films.
No, but I do like the style of the trailer so far.
I like the style of the trailer, but I'm considering it's what 30. Oh, it's over 30 years since
the original. Yes.
And in a lot of ways, I think that what made Blade Runner great and so packed was it had, you know, that famously torturous
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, it's all multi-layered in the way it's edited together and the way, you know, you got all the performances. That just makes it, I mean, you know, for reference to this, you can listen to our earlier podcast dedicated to Blade Runner.
Yes.
Well, quite. You can.
Yes, exactly. You can. So go do it. Not now. Yeah, so, you know, there's that I'm looking forward to. Yeah, I'm looking through some of the, you know, yeah.
Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah. Late, you know, Pacific Rim Uprising. Oh, 2018?
Yeah.
You bastards.
Well, Finn from Star Wars is in it, isn't he? So they've had to rearrange the filming around his film schedule.
Oh, is he doing something this year? I hadn't heard.
Well, apart from Star Wars, he's doing Pacific Rim as well.
Yeah, I thought that was, you know, excellent news when I heard about it. So, yeah, those are things I'm looking forward to. And, of course, I'm looking forward to a few TV series, but, you know.
Yeah. Any in particular?
Well, Game of Thrones is a constant.
Yes.
The Return of Walking Dead.
Ooh.
Fear the Walking Dead as well. Although the second season of that did sort of lose some of its shine for me, where it started with Fear the Walking Dead starting off as telling a, you know, the origin of you know, everything going to hell. The second season was a bit too everything has gone to hell in a very similar way to our sister series, which you are also watching.
Okay, well, we haven't seen the second season of Fear the Walking Dead, so no spoilers, but that actually makes me want to watch it a bit more.
Really?
Yeah, because I absolutely love The Walking Dead, and Fear the Walking Dead was okay, but it didn't feel like The Walking Dead quite as much. So, you know, knowing that, you know, stuff's actually already started to, like, decay, and, you know, you're going to get these kind of more post-apocalyptic-y type problems with, you know, stuff, it does actually, you know, make me want to watch it a bit more.
Yeah, I liked the second season, but I just liked the idea of, you know, you're seeing the downfall. Whereas, of course, with, you know, The Walking Dead, we've had 7 years of everything is post-downfall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like them both. And, cool. I'm looking forward to new season of Sense8.
Yes.
Doctor Who will be returning this year, won't it?
I'm not looking forward to that.
Nope. Stephen Moffat's last swan song.
Last swan song to screw it all up.
I'm kind of more excited for the new companion, to be honest.
She could be quite good, actually. I quite like the look of her. And I like the fact that she's from the 80s.
Mm.
So she doesn't know anything.
That's a nice nod, because, of course, one of the things that I've always, you know, whined about, you know, the new Who, is the companions have always been but the audience want someone from the, you know, this current time, because the companion serves as the anchor for the, oh, bollocks. We can watch stuff, you know, from, you know, all kinds of times, all kinds of you know, worlds. We can work it out, thanks. We don't need a constant EastEnders proxy.
I mean, to be honest, it's actually kind of nice having characters kind of coming out of time and kind of, you know, if they kind of got a MP3 player or something, like, how the hell does this work? Oh, this is amazing! Type thing. That kind of, you know, it's quite good.
Or, say something like a CD player. Mm. Or, you know, just something that was, this was popular for a very brief period of time.
Anyway, is that everything that we're looking forward to?
Maybe.
For sure?
Because
I've got
the release of Giant Asteroid.
I am hoping to see more details of this new project with Square Enix and Marvel.
Okay.
I don't care, because apparently the developer of Deus Ex has been taken off that, so they can work on licensed.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, and we should probably also, not something we were looking forward to, but, you know, I mentioned to the passing of the, you know, the founder of Namco.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Who was seen, I'm just trying to find the details, because, and I'm pretty sure I know his name, but I don't want to say it wrong.
He was, what, 91 when he passed away?
He was about 91. That's it. Masaya Nakamura, who founded the company in 1955, in the late 70s bought the failing Japanese subsidiary of Atari.
Wow.
And started doing their own original games. And, of course, nothing happened with Namco after that. Just a footnote in the history of arcade games and home gaming.
Also, we had the passing of John Hurt over the last week.
Yes. Sad news.
Very sad news. The war doctor has come.
He'll be reunited with his son, the Xenomorph.
I think we're going to move on to what we've been doing.
Can I go? Please go.
Yes. Please. I know you really want to talk about Euro Night.
There's a couple of things I want to talk about. So okay. So I have finally given in to watching Yuri on Ice after seeing tons of stuff from people that I follow on Twitter and Facebook about it.
Yeah, I kept seeing similar.
And I was just like, right, that does it. So I subscribed to Crunchyroll because I tried watching it for free on there and I couldn't deal with the ad break situation.
It was like literally every couple of seconds.
It felt like, and I was just like, nope. But it's only $4.99 a month, so I didn't feel that bad. And there's only 12 episodes in the first season. I watched a little bit last week and I'm currently rewatching it whilst I exercise because it's something that I've liked that much. What do people want to know about Yuri on Ice?
What's it actually about?
It is about a Japanese figure skating guy who, after kind of middling along in like national and international sort of like championships and stuff for figure skating, has one really, really bad season and he's like on the verge of quitting, and then he duplicates a routine that an ice skating idol of his who's like about 4 years older than him had been performing like during the last season of ice skating, and he does it really well, and somebody like uploads that a video of that onto YouTube, and then suddenly his sort of like how do you call it idol ends up coming all the way to Japan. There's a Russian figure skater called Victor, and Yuri's the Japanese guy, and he ends up basically getting into shape and starting to compete in the next season. And that's kind of like how that first season kind of goes, is like Victor training Yuri to skate, and they're growing friendship, and clearly more than friendship, but never explicitly shown, but very much inferred in lots of intimate touches and close contact and instances of nudity and cuddling. So it's like, it's this, you know, it's clearly two guys who like each other a lot, more than friends, more than perhaps, you know, queer platonic or something, and I think I know why lots of girls like it and women.
I was getting that kind of vibe.
Yeah, but it's one of the, it's been seen as quite daring because it's still been quite overt with like the same sex kind of budding relationship between these two lead characters. Obviously, though, it's obviously got a lot of shtick from the regular Okatu crowd, because like some people have kind of like been like, oh, well, they've just done this just so that women would like it, essentially. And it's like, well, yeah, like fucking fan service in most regular anime isn't there just so that guys will watch it. It's just
anime has been doing fan service since forever.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm pretty sure all those transformation sequences and things like Sailor Moon, get lots of, you know, like, you know, naked side boob and such.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that was for the ladies.
Yeah. And just stuff like series like Love Hina and that, like the Love Haram series and that, or like you get like a freaking fighting series, and oh yeah, there's like a capable female fighter that's like friends with the male protagonist, but she's got the bounciest, biggest boobs ever imaginable, and it's like, oh, we can't like make an anime series that might actually have a different demographic apparently sort of like into it. So I think it's had a bit of stick for that over the past year, but it's like, fuck them, because it's nice to actually have an anime that's kind of been catered towards more of a female audience.
It boggles the mind, the sense of entitlement that some people have to
it's their thing.
Yeah,
and it's just ridiculous. I think a lot of for quite a few years now I've got the feeling that anime has just been playing to its ever reducing crowd.
Well, it makes sense for them to sort of look at new markets. I mean, it's not like manga isn't popular with women in Japan. Like, obviously, you know, essentially the comic book still forms. Yeah. Like, women still read manga from childhood, you know, into adulthood. But anime, it's like they're sort of like, they've previously been mostly targeted at it for when they're like under 15. And then it just kind of gets ridiculous and it's less for them with like maybe the odd adaptation of a manga that has been popular among women. But it's like, it's rare.
I think part of the problem is that some people kind of go into like anime and kind of see like a popular show like One Piece or Naruto or Sword Art, or like, I'm not sure about that one, but you know, several others, and that they think that's what anime is, including the genres. And it's like, no, there's actually a lot of different genres surrounding anime.
Yeah.
It's like saying, well, you know, this going back years, you know, when I've been talking to, you know, friends, when I've been, you know, watching anime, it's like saying, oh, I saw Rocky, so I now know Western films are like.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you've seen Rocky, and there's, you know, very specific genres and subgenres are like that, but.
Or kind of looking at video games and being like, oh, video games are all first-person shooters.
It's actually been really good to watch this video. It's probably I might have been using it for some escapism. There's no denying that at this point.
It's good to have a bit of escapism.
I mean, light-hearted stuff, and it's actually quite fun to watch. And you do really kind of feel for like Yuri, like you kind of want him to succeed, and it's nice. Another new thing, and this, I mean, okay, so Yuri on Ice being legally available on Crunchyroll, I mean, well, I mean, when I sort of like researched it to like watch it, because I was hoping there'd be a legitimate way to watch it, I was like, oh, Crunchyroll's got it. Oh, well done then. They've helped decrease some piracy. I mean, you've got to watch it subtitled, but that's fine. It's
which is the only way you should be watching anime.
Well, yeah, but it's a little bit unfair with people who've got issues with like reading speed and stuff, or like dyslexia.
Oh, I think there should be like a, you know, spoken version. But
obviously that's going to be some ways online. But so there was I found a legitimate way to watch that, and then Riverdale started last week on CW in the US.
Yes,
and I was like, oh, am I gonna have to, like, I really wanted to watch it before spoilers got to me, and I was like, oh man, I don't want to have to use Dave internet. And then, oh look, there's Netflix UK with it less than 24 hours after it's been aired in the US,
and that's lovely. How it should bloody work.
Yes, many fist pumps happened.
And Riverdale was quite an intriguing first episode. I've never read any of the Archie comics, and I know that in the last couple of years they've kind of changed things up in the Archie comics, trying to make them a bit more mature, or sort of like basically kind of like with an eye to what the current culture and stuff is basically like, rather than it being in some kind of idealistic bubble.
Because it was very 50s, 60s for a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they've kind of updated for a few years. I think it kind of fits with that. I heard some opinions from some friends who obviously were from the other side of the pond, had read the comics years ago, and they didn't like Riverdale because, oh, it was this kind of like slightly, you know, kind of like dark entity, basically. Like, it's a gritty storyline. It's kind of like what you come to expect with the non-comedy stuff that the CW is putting out at the moment. I would say it's got less humour in it than iZombie.
It's a lot darker.
It's probably kind of like on the same sort of like seriousness level as stuff like Supernatural and Vampire Diaries and all the sort of like DC adaptation stuff that's going on. But it was a good first episode, and if you've got Netflix, I really would recommend catching that first episode if you have no memories of Archie comics to be destroyed.
Well, to be fair, even if you do, it's quite an interesting take on it.
Yeah,
I found there were a few things that stuck out to me which I didn't quite agree with, but it was still quite interesting to see the take.
So now I've heard one person say that like one of the characters was meant to be asexual, but they changed him in the TV series. Was that one of the bits that you were annoyed at with as well?
It was Jughead. I wasn't actually too fussed about that because it is only the first episode and we don't really know where the story's going.
I'm not even sure which one was Jughead.
It was the...
It was the guy on the computer writing the story. In the, he didn't really see much of him in this episode.
Was it Jughead?
Yeah, the one who in the diner with the laptop.
Oh yeah, double check that. I'm checking that. Somebody talk.
So he was Jughead. What I did find interesting was in the comic books, from what I can remember, because it's been a long time since I actually had anything to do with the comics, so to say, or read any of the comics, Jughead and Archie were actually best mates. Mm. But in this, they didn't seem very close.
Oh, yeah, it's the computer dude. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, he didn't actually seem very close to Archie, and he didn't seem very close friends, which threw me a bit. Mm. So, I mean, but that's actually got me more intrigued to see how and why they aren't, and whether that's going to be addressed later on in the season, which I'm assuming it will be due to what the advice Jughead gave him about Betty near the end.
Okay. I mean, I've never read any Archie. All I know is that from the covers, it looks like, you know, one guy and two girls. And that there's some sort of dynamic there, which I actually find quite refreshing.
I've never actually read it, but I know that a lot of the characters' names. So that's Betty and Veronica.
Yep.
Because I would go through, you know, when I was, you know, buying comics on, you know, quite a basis, I would pick up issues of previews, which would be the, you know, order them about 3 months in advance.
Hmm.
You'd get all the titles listed, and you'd be able to see, you know, you'd go through them and you'd see what you wanted. And yeah, they'd, you know, always list, you know, the Archie comics and Betty and Veronica, you know, having their own like mini series or, you know, ongoing series.
Yeah. Okay.
So I sort of see them and go, oh yeah.
Mm. I mean, all I remember from kind of the this was when I first found out about it was when I was actually doing the images for sister site Hex Dimension for our comics. Hex Comics Roundup.
Oh yeah,
and that's where I kind of mostly got the you know, kind of images Archie ones.
Hmm.
So that kind of appeared a couple of times. I think anyway.
Anyway, what else have I been up to? So you're Supernatural season 12 came back on CW last week. Episode 12 and 9, First Blood. It had some very interesting stuff happen, and some badassery. And
were they supernatural?
Yeah, things? Not quite, but yes and no. There were some really good hugs towards the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Really good hugs. Shit went a bit crazy at the end of the episode.
And they required man hugs.
Yeah. So that was good. A lot of people were like really panicking when stuff happened in the episode. It was like they hadn't watched, because obviously like at Supernatural they always do a then and then do clips from like previous episodes. I paid attention to who was appearing in that, and so when certain things happened in last week's episode, I was like, why is everyone panicking? Like, they showed that this character is somehow involved in this episode, you know, don't panic. Please stop panicking, everyone. Oh my god. Like, wow. It was a bit crazy.
Cool.
in other supernatural related news, at the last Houston, because this weekend just gone was the Houston Supernatural Convention, which is the one I went to last year. It was also the last one in Houston. Jared Padalecki on Sunday, the photographic evidence of this has been all over social media that I like to inhabit. And he stole Misha.
This is what I saw.
Yeah, he stole Misha Collins' Castiel outfit that he was going to be wearing for Castiel photo ops on Sunday. He wore it on stage during the J2, so that's Jared and Jensen, gold panel, so that's only gold ticket members get to go to that one. To say he looked like the outfit looked tiny on him was... It was like really short sleeves so that you couldn't tuck the shirt in properly and that. And actually, I felt sorry for Misha because Misha had to wear that outfit later for photo ops and Jared sweats a lot. So, yeah. Yeah.
He was covered in Jared's juices.
I just want to point out that some people do ship those two together in real person fanfic. So
that's an issue that we're gonna not get into.
Yeah, those lines have been written before, probably somewhere.
Oh yeah, yeah. I kind of knew there would have been.
Yeah. Supernatural continued on E4 last week, and we're currently, so we've just had episode 1204, which is American Nightmare, that is a really good episode. It reminds, it's kind of like almost like a slight play on stuff that they did in season one with the Benders, and then kind of like is familiar territory because of the religious elements in it to certain episodes of like the X-Files and stuff and Millennium. That's quite interesting. It was good to rewatch that one. Unfortunately, though, it kind of makes you hope for Power Sam to happen in season 12, so Sam getting all this psychic stuff back. But one of the people responsible for the show, I don't know if it was Deb or somebody else, but before Christmas last year said, oh, we're not going to have any Power Sam in season 12. Oh, no, that's not going to happen, which was after this episode had happened. And it was just like, you do protest too much, sir. I mean, perhaps it will happen, and you're just trying to lead us off the trail, maybe.
Lead
just
us
a bit.
Yeah, it's just, oh, we're definitely not doing that. Okay, we'll be looking up.
It's just that having Sam with powers in season 12 would, like, with the season sort of make one of the main visible antagonistic forces, would make a lot of sense. And be quite interesting.
Well, I mean, it kind of reminds me of like the way that Buffy went, because obviously the bad guys got more and more powered up, more and more deadly, until she reached a god and managed to kill her. And then the following season, it was like, what do we do? What's bigger and badder than a god? What about ourselves, or you know, other humans and Willow,
yeah,
and friends? So yeah, kind of makes sense in a way.
Is that everything I've been up to? Paul, do you know if that's everything I've been up to?
Well, I know there's at least one or two things.
Hello?
Yeah, I know there's one or two things that I've been doing.
Cool.
One of them, I actually started watching a Netflix series called Travellers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
With Will and Grace guy.
Yes, Will and Grace guy. it's quite an interesting concept. It's basically people who were meant to die, and they kind of get possessed by these people from the future, in essence, in order to avert catastrophe. And we don't know much about this catastrophe. All we know is that they kind of work in shifts, and each time, like new shift comes, and you know, they don't have absolute knowledge of the past. They only have like records and whatnot. So sometimes when they kind of possess somebody, like in the first episode, one of the people kind of possessed a girl with learning difficulties. Only this girl was obviously meant to die, so you know she got possessed. But basically they had their records wrong, and they actually used a fake profile of her on, I think it was like Facebook or something like that, to kind of gather up, you know, details and whatnot, to know who to possess. So now, so obviously, girl had learning difficulties, kind of died, but at the moment of death, got possessed by this, you know, future, whatever. And she's kind of now kind of the medic of the group. So she's obviously got kind of superb knowledge and whatnot. There's another guy who was like a junkie, you know, moment of death, possessed by what seems to be like the intelligence of the group, which is the guy that has all of the plans in place and has memorized like loads of different stuff, you know. And it is very interesting, and things do not work out as, you know, it was meant to. And it's kind of made me think that there's a lot of TV series now where people are either kind of going back in time or somehow changing time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting in a way. Definitely worth discussing, I think, on a podcast at some point.
Definitely.
Because the another series that kind of does a similar type of thing that I've been watching is Frequency, so I've picked that back up as well. So that one had a daughter who pretty much kind of has a magic radio box that that allows her to talk to her dead father.
Isn't that based on the film?
Yes.
I haven't seen the film or anything, but the TV series, yeah. So allows her to kind of talk to her father who's dead from, I can't remember whether it was like 20 years or so in the past. And each time they do, obviously that affects what he does, which then affects her as well. So they end up kind of trying to tackle the killer of her mother, and they kind of do it in the past and the present, in essence, in order to try and kind of alter the present to try and bring her back.
That sounds interesting.
It is quite interesting. It's a interesting way of doing time travel.
I've seen the first couple of episodes and they're quite good.
It is unfortunately at risk of, it is unfortunately at risk of being cancelled. Because it hasn't been picked up yet, yeah. But there is still time.
So it must be good then, because that's usually what happens.
Okay.
With you saying about, was it Travellers, with them having imperfect knowledge?
Yes.
One thing that occurred to me was, what if they only had knowledge from, like, Reddit?
No. God help us.
Or, you know, something like that. You know, something happened in the future, and the only thing they found was, like, 4chan.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
That'd be...
Oh, but, oh no. God. Space, you know, space arseholes from the future.
I mean, there is kind of hints that they are meant to be fighting something in the future, and what they do in their past, which is our present, is trying to kind of alter the great scheme of things.
Isn't that kind of like what they hope to achieve in the 4400?
Yes. Yes. That
minus
that
was... the superpowers.
Yeah. In essence. But they do kind of have.
Send back a cyborg to kill someone in particular.
Yes. Because
yes, that sounds like a plan.
I think definitely. There's a reason why this type of series is happening nowadays. Time travel.
It also
is
kind of makes me miss Sarah Connor Chronicles, which was quite good. It was cancelled ahead of its time.
In terms of kind of sci-fi kind of conventions like this, I think time travel is probably one of my second favourite. My first is probably alternate reality travel or dimension travel, which is what happens in Rick and Morty, which is part of the reason why.
Yes, it does. Like one of the episodes I've seen where they kill everyone.
What do you mean by kill everyone?
Mutate. They destroy the world.
Yes.
And then they just sort of insert themselves into an alternate universe by killing their counterparts.
Well, they didn't kill their counterparts. They just scouted for a universe where... Sorry?
Did they swap or something like that?
No, it was a case of basically, so they fucked up a world that they referred to as Cronenberg's, based on, you know, the filmmaker Cronenberg. And so they traveled to an alternate dimension in which Rick actually saved the day. But that dimension had Rick coming back and end up being killed by an explosion along with Morty. They basically take their place.
Yeah.
And it is just like really, really dark and somber and like, oh my God.
Oh my God, I've just seen myself die. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you only get 3 or 4 of these more max.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant series.
Is that you done?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Because I will then get on to what I've been doing.
Okay.
Let's see. I mentioned on the last podcast that I just started watching a series called Van Helsing.
Oh, yeah.
And that improved.
Ooh, okay.
Because I think we'd only watched the first, you know, one or two at that point.
Yeah.
And in a quick recap, it's... woman wakes up on hospital bed to find that she's been in a coma for about 3 years and the apocalypse happened. And now the world has gone to hell and there are vampires. And she is somehow immune. I was watching it and I was thinking, you know, at the casting, they must have just said, now pretend you're being bit for the 10th time. Go and act that. All right. Yes. Yeah. Good. You know, you look like you're in pain. You've got the part.
Oh dear.
And it's quite good. It does some interesting things with the idea of a sort of vampire apocalypse.
Vampocalypse.
It does vampocalypse. Several different types of vampire, like the ones that have been alive for a long time, and they're more the sort of classic, I'm going to sound a little bit Eastern European and suck at your blood type. And, you know, newly minted ones, that haven't been able to feed on humans, and those are the ones who go feral.
Okay, yeah.
So there are various different spins on, you know, the vampire mythos, and it's... Yeah, it turns into a sort of a road movie series about halfway through when they find, you know, various, you know, people who have been doing deals with, you know, the local vampires so they can be, you know, kind of left alone.
Okay.
But yeah, it's quite good. It's kind of mixed, you know, with it being that, you know, the whole they can come back type thing. They stumble across the occasional bit of this is what the government were trying to do in, you know, the end days.
Yeah.
To protect themselves. So, it's about half season length, so it's about 12, 13 episodes, something like that.
Okay.
That's on Netflix. It's quite good, so, you know, finish watching that. We then watched the OA.
Oh, okay. I've heard that that's a weird series.
It is a weird series, but weird in a good way. Okay. I think years ago it would have been a movie.
Okay.
That would get a cult following, a little bit sort of like, you know, Donnie Darko.
Ah, yeah.
Cool.
I won't go into it much, but yeah, the idea of there's a girl who went missing in her teens. She was blind, and she's she disappears for 7 years, and then comes back, and she can see.
Okay.
And the idea is, of course, that. You know, how the hell did she get back? How the hell can she see again? You know, who, you know, where's she been?
Mm.
Did someone, you know, have her captive? What happened to her? And she gets together a group of, I'll say, misfits. Like, one's a teacher, one's an out-and-out, going-off-the-rails bully, drug dealer, from the local high school.
Okay.
Yeah, one's a teacher, one's a trans boy, and a star pupil who's having to deal with, you know, various shit in his home life.
Okay.
And she sort of collects them together and says, you know, I need five people to get together and, you know, we'll meet in one of our built houses that, you know, it was being built when, you know, when the economic crash happened. So it's just, you know, been left half done. And she tells them about her life before she came to the town and also what happened to her in the time she was, you know, missing. Now, I'm not going to say anything about that other than it remains unspecified whether some of the things that she says happened or not.
Oh, okay.
But it's a good series. Yeah, it's got a mention of sort of near-death experiences and, you know, things like that.
Hmm.
And trying to get knowledge of that and what could be occurring. So that's, you know, that's that. I'm not going to say any more, but it is a good series. I really liked it. Very well acted. And I'm really not sure if there will be a second series or not.
Hmm.
I would like there to be more of it.
Cool.
But yeah, I was getting a very sort of, cult indie film feel for it. And one of the things I really liked about it being on something like Netflix was if you look at the episode lengths, there's some episodes that are over an hour. And there's at least one episode which is just over half an hour.
Oh, wow. Okay, so
it varies, and I love the fact that they just thought, right, this chapter can be shorter.
Hmm.
This chapter needs to be longer. And I'm very happy because, of course, if this was on a network, you can just imagine them saying, no, it has to be 45 minutes. If you're if you're doing 45 minutes for the rest of them, this one has to be padded out.
Yeah.
And with it being a Netflix production, it's like, no, it can be shorter. It doesn't have to be.
Ideal.
Yeah, so really recommend that. And the other thing we've been watching is iZombie. That's with Emily mentioning it earlier. We have watched iZombie, and that is good, and we're looking forward to season 3. So that's something that I may be looking forward to this year.
Ooh.
So there we go. iZombie season 3. But we've been watching Z Nation. Also, Z Nation.
How are you feeling? Because I remember, I think that's the one that I stuck on, and the production values were all over the place, and I just kind of...
It can be.
I couldn't be like, nah, this just, nah.
It strikes me as a, the writers have come together, and it's all those questions where you've been getting into a conversation about a zombie apocalypse. You know, there's a lot of what ifs. Okay. What about? What would happen if? Well, how about? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Hmm.
So, it's set after the apocalypse, but it's nowhere near as grim as, Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So it's very pulpy, but I like it for that. Like, there's... in one of the episodes we saw, they have... Because they have varieties of zombies. They don't have, like, special infected. But they, there are things that can affect them. Like, there were these zombies that were being used for compost in a greenhouse.
Okay.
To grow what they call in the series, Z-weed. So they're growing marijuana on zombies. So they call it Z-weed.
Okay.
And there are these zombies that have been sort of absorbed into, plants. And Doc, who is probably my favourite character in the series, he's wandering through and he's going, what is this? It's like some big Shop of Horrors. I see what you did there. Because it's, all kinds of, zombie plant zombies. And it's like, it's like a big Shop of Horrors. I see what you did. But little references like that to give a you know, a very broad overview of the series. It's a bloke called Murphy was subject to experiments by a doctor who was trying to create a vaccine for the zombie virus.
Okay.
Spoiler, he doesn't die. He doesn't turn into a zombie.
Hmm.
So he goes on the road and with a bunch of other people, who several of them will die along the way. So he's got that in common with Walking Dead. And the idea is they're being guided by this bloke who is in a military base for the NSA and who calls himself Citizen Z. And he says, you know, you've got to get yourself to a lab in California and we'll work on a zombie cure. So it's all kinds of things that they, you know, encounter, including a nuclear apocalypse.
No.
Because it's what would happen if a nuclear apocalypse happened when there's, you know, after the zombie apocalypse had happened. So there's, yeah, it's very what if and what, you know, what can we do? So I've been enjoying it. It's a very pulpy zombie series, but you know I like it for that. And we're nearing the end of the second season.
Okay.
And we're, starting the third season soon. But yeah, quite enjoying that. And of course, fourth season is currently being shown, I think.
All right.
Nice one.
And for other stuff, I've been tearing apart another monitor, trying to work out how I can stick it to a window, just because.
Cool.
Stick it to a window. Okay.
Yeah, well, short lesson of how LCDs work. You have the LCD, which is an array of pixels stuck on a plate of glass. Hmm. Now, in order to have them work on TVs and in tablets and such, you have them mounted in a metal box, which has a light in it. And it shines the white light through the liquid crystal pixels, so you can see the colours on the screen.
Okay, yeah.
What you can do is you can just take the sheet of glass that the liquid crystals are mounted on out of the light box, and of course you can have any form of light, any source of light behind them, and that includes daylight. So if you just put that on its own with a controller board and such and etc. On a window in daylight, the daylight will shine through it and you will be able to use it.
Okay.
And that's also the same way that LCD projectors work. They just shine a torch through the glass that's got the liquid crystal on.
Hmm. Okay.
And I picked up this monitor. This is the one I might have mentioned that I picked up on a rainy day. Someone had just dumped it.
Okay, yeah.
And it was in the cut, about 30 seconds away from my front door. And I was just walking through and said, hang on, someone's left a monitor out. I wonder if I can take that apart and play with it.
Cool.
Because it's free, so why not? But yeah, I've been looking at that, but I've not done anything with it yet. So, future.
Nice one.
Okay, Cookie?
Bugger all. Apart from work and watching Riverdale, episode one. That is all I've actually been up to.
Oh, wow, okay. That was shorter than I expected.
No, I've just been, unfortunately, it's been hectic at work, so I haven't really had much time to do much else. So, yes, watched Riverdale. Quite liked some of it. Waiting to see where it goes, waiting for the next episode. Yeah, that was it, really. Yeah. Sorted.
Okay.
There you go. Nice and simple for me this week. There you go. How about that?
Excellent. So, yeah, I think we're all done now, so we'll call it a night. So, what's the sign-off? I've forgotten the sign-off.
Do you need it?
Yeah, if you want to take it away, Emily.
All right, so it is good night from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Super Retroid on Twitter and Retroid on Eurogamer.net.
It's good night for me, Paul, aka OneArmed_Cookie on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett, and I'm on Twitter at Paul Blewett.
It's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EK6891. You can find notes to this episode over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk.
How do you spell it?
Yeah. But it's also, the show's also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Pocket Cast. We may be covering the BioShock games next episode.
Give me the helium.
We might be. I have a feeling we might not be. We are going to definitely do it as our next special, though, but I think I need more time to play, basically. Sorry, guys.
But that's such a cheery series.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we need happiness.
I was...
Play Katamari. There you go. Play some Katamari.
Play some Katamari. Oh, man. So that's... you can find us on social media, on Facebook and Google Plus as Nerds Assemble Podcast, and we're on Twitter at Nerds Podcast. There's an email address somewhere which we think is working now.
Last time we checked, which was...
a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago.
After we got it fixed, which is contact at nerdassemble.co.uk. But yeah, good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.